Welcome to the home study course entitled Balancing the Power Dynamic and Therapeutic Relationship, sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute. Our primary intent for this course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979 to thousands nationally and in Canada as well. My name is Catherine Appleton. We appreciate the fact that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. I will be the narrator of this CD set. Let's talk about the format of this CD set. For the purpose of brevity, most generally, I will use the term therapist or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situation. When you hear the term therapist, if your job title is social worker, marriage and family therapist, psychologist, mental health counselor, resident director, team leader, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term for the title that is most meaningful to you. Also, for the purposes of brevity, I will use the term client. However, transpose this term to the one that is the most meaningful for those you treat, whether the term consumer, patient, resident, etc. is used. The key is not to let my use of these shorthand terms turn you off from the ideas presented by saying, this doesn't apply to me, I'm a resident assistant, or I'm a therapist, and I deal with patients, not clients. Also, regarding completion of your answer booklet, periodically questions are asked regarding the content to which you have just listened. These questions correspond with the questions in your answer booklet. Merely write the correct letter in the blank next to the question that applies. There is nothing trick or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify your playing of this CD set. Each question is included on this CD as well as on the answer book and sequentially deals with the section that just preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read a question prior to listening to that tract on the CD. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, if you have the answer booklet handy now, it might be a good idea to read question 1 and listen for the answer in the next section of track 1. The purpose of this course is to assist you in increasing your self-awareness regarding balancing the power dynamic with clients. Phyllis Chesler, in her book Women and Madness, indicates victims report that the professionals who abused them were going through life crises or changes. If you recall, Russ, the therapist that treated Mary, indicated he was unhappy with his marriage. Chesler indicated one victim who felt that her psychiatrist was too familiar during her first visit with him reported that, quote, he kissed me and asked if he could visit me on his way home, close quote. She canceled any follow-up sessions and later discovered the psychiatrist was in the process of a divorce. Josephine, whose female psychologist had recently gone through a marriage breakdown, states, she kept telling me that I was uptight about my body, so she suggested that we go to the nude swimming session at the YMCA together. Afterwards, she asked me back to her apartment. Prefunctory sex was a common experience with abusive professionals as described by the 9 women abused by therapists in Chesler's study. The professional appeared to be interested only in his or her own sexual needs and little interest in the emotional or sexual gratification of their patients or clients. Chesler stated there is a tendency for professionals to abuse incest victims shortly after they disclose their abuse. This could be linked to a perception of the incest victim as having been publicly defrocked, so to speak, and therefore no longer deserving of protection or respect. Thus, the mental health professional may view the incest victim or survivor as fair game and may excuse his or her seduction of the client by telling themselves that they cannot do the client very much further harm. The abused child, trained to please men, may engage in a kind of ritualized seductive behavior that arouses the professional and permits him or her to believe that she has an adult desire for sex with the therapist. Because the victim has low self-esteem and may believe that no man or woman will care for her without a sexual relationship, she may feel that sexual involvement with the professional is a necessary price to pay for the attention. Based on his clinical experience, Alan Stone proposed a typology of sexually abusive mental health professionals. Interestingly, Stone makes no mention of female therapist. We'll discuss his focus on male therapists later. The six types of therapist are as follows. Number one, the therapist who is middle-aged, depressed, and has problems in his own marriage. He usually gets involved with a younger female client to whom he tells his troubles. Sometimes the client is led to believe that the therapist is contemplating divorcing his wife and marrying the client. Two, the manipulative and psychopathic therapist is exploiting his position and its opportunities with a goal of self-gratification. Three, the therapist who uses patients to satisfy perverse instincts. This group includes therapists who drug their patients into unconsciousness and then have sex with them. Unlike the other examples, this does not involve an exploitation of transference of the patient's view of the therapist as a parent-like figure. The fourth type, as described by Stone, is the charming, expansive, grandiose therapist who wants to be loved by his female patients, particularly if they are young and attractive. He initiates hugging and kissing early in the therapy and goes on from there. 5. The therapist who sees himself as progressive and believes that this progressiveness includes sexual contacts with his patients. 6. The introverted and withdrawn therapist who is very uncomfortable with interpersonal intimacy. If a patient appears to be intensely sexually attracted to him, he succumbs. He may contend that the patient seduced him, but is likely to feel guilty and will probably confess. Another typology of sexual exploitive therapist, again with six categories, has been developed by Martin Schoner and his associates at the Minnesota Walk-In Counseling Center. The clustering of these characteristics are as follows. Number one, naive and uninformed. This group includes trainees and poorly trained therapists who may lack knowledge of their profession standards and the importance of boundaries. 2. Healthy or mild neurotic. Minimal sexual contact or compromises in a single episode, leading to remorse and request for help, are common. 3. Severely neurotic. This group has severe, long-standing emotional problems and focus on getting their needs met in the work setting. As intimacy grows in a therapeutic relationship, these therapists play seductive games, talk about themselves, and use touch excessively, and arrange business or social involvements outside of the counseling role. 4. Character disordered with impulse control problems. These therapists have a variety of problems, which may include legal difficulties. They have little or no appreciation of the effect of their impulsive and inappropriate behavior on others, and tend to deny or minimize any harm they have caused. 5. Psychopathic or narcissistic character disorders. These therapists are adept in manipulating clients and professional colleagues. They are cool and calculating, able to cunningly seduce a variety of clients and cover their tracks. 6. Psychotic or borderline personality disorders. These therapists are more obviously mentally ill with poor judgment and a tenuous grasp on reality. How do you feel after hearing this list of Stone and Schoner's typology of abusive therapist? Do you feel a knot in your stomach right now? Is this material difficult for you to hear? I know for me it is, because the thought of this existing in our profession is unthinkable. However, as stated at the beginning of this CD, it is hoped that by bringing these uncomfortable professional imbalances to light, the veil of secrecy will be somewhat lifted from this emotionally charged area, which most have felt is not an actual issue to be considered for discussion in today's society. Question 1. What are the 6 categories listed in Schooner's Typology of Abuse?